The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
Yesterday, churches across America stopped and prayed for the president and members of his administration. Franklin Graham issued a nationwide call for prayer. Our home church certainly did that. I'm very, very grateful for that time of prayer that we had together yesterday. I hope your church participated as well and spent just a few moments in prayer. As I mentioned to you yesterday, the president, and yesterday was an incredibly busy day for him. He left to head to England for a state visit, very, very busy, very important visit, and yet somehow he made time, you know, he made time to drop by McLean Bible Church in Virginia, right outside Washington, D.C., and didn't give a speech. There was no campaign speech, nothing. He just stopped and allowed David Platt, the pastor of the church, to pray for him. Love him or hate him, I think that speaks very well that he decided to carve out time to visit an evangelical church so that they could pray for him. And then, as I said, right now, as we speak, he is at a huge state dinner in Britain. How in the world he pulled that off? But anyway, he did, and I am grateful that he cares about people praying for him. And hey, you may hate his guts, but you need to pray for him. You do. Speaking of prayer, I want you to join me and I hope hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of others down at the State House tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. for the 7:14 meeting. It's going to be on the west side of the State House. It looks like the weather is going to be spectacular. It's going to be outside on by the steps on the west side of the State House. And many, many people will be there praying for our country. I have the privilege. I will be praying for the media and others. State representatives will be there praying. Other business leaders will be there praying. Pastors will be there praying. And I hope you will be there praying as well on the west side of the State House tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. I think it will go almost exactly 1 hour. There won't be preaching. This is not partisan. It's not denominational. It's just a time of prayer, a time of prayer for the media, for government, for education, for business, and so on. And again, it is tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Please be there. Please, please, please be there. I am praying that there will be hundreds there. If it were an LGBTQ rally, there would be thousands. And that's serious. If the LGBT community here in Columbus puts out word, hey, we're going to have a big rally down at the State House, there will be thousands there. I hope Christians show up, make their voice known. This says so much to our community. It says so much to our media. Last year when we did this, there was not one person there from the media. Not one radio station, well, other than WRFD. Not one TV station, not one newspaper, There was no media representative there at all. I hope that's different this year, but I hope that you will support it. I hope you will. You know, every time we have a tragedy like what happened in Virginia Beach, 12 people dead, others wounded in this horrible attack at the municipal building in Virginia Beach at the end of last week. Every time this happens, what is the chant from the liberal left? Gun control, gun control, gun control. And that's the chant, that's the yell, that's the cry right now. As a result of what happened last week, we got to have greater gun control, stricter laws. May I just point out, what has changed in America? We are having more mass shootings than we ever have in our history. That is true. Sometimes the media exaggerates how many mass shootings we have in order to push their anti-gun agenda. Okay. But even without the exaggeration of the mainstream media, we are having more mass shootings than we've ever had in American history. Now, what has changed? Have guns changed? No. Americans have always had guns. In fact, if you look back in history, Americans had more guns. I've said this before. Please forgive me for repeating it. But I grew up in Los Angeles. There weren't a whole lot of guns. But we used to go back to my grandpa's farm in Missouri every summer. And I spent a good part of the summer in Missouri. And I'll never forget going down to the DQ, the Dairy Queen, in Mount Vernon, Missouri. And the parking lot. And I remember this as a kid because it's not what I was used to in Southern California. But the parking lot at the DQ, the Dairy Queen in Mount Vernon, Missouri, was filled with pickups. And what did they all have in common? They had gun racks in their back window filled with rifles. My grandpa had a whole cabinet of different kinds of rifles, shotguns, all kinds of guns in the house. It was not locked. But the minute I showed up, my grandpa took me to that gun cabinet and he taught me gun safety. Took me out in the woods, taught me how to shoot. I had a .22 caliber, you know, I was a kid. And it was not a problem. Big gun cabinet in his house, open. I don't know whether they were loaded. I have no idea. As a kid, I don't remember. But again, going down, and hey, you went to the high school? Half the parking lot at the high school were kids with pickup trucks and guns on a gun rack in their back window. Guns have not changed. What has changed? Our society. So what do we need to change? The guns or the people holding the guns? Can I illustrate it? If the answer is more stringent gun control, then Chicago should be the safest place in America because Chicago has some of the most restrictive gun laws in America, if not the most restrictive gun laws in America. And the city officials in Chicago are pushing for even more gun laws. So if gun laws are the answer, Chicago should be one of the safest cities in America. Here is the headline today from the Chicago Tribune. This is today's headline, Chicago Tribune. Most violent weekend in Chicago this year, at least 52 people shot, 10 people dead. That's just this Saturday and Sunday. Memorial Day weekend, the three-day weekend, oh, it was terrible. It was violent, but not as violent as this past weekend. Most violent weekend in Chicago this year, at least 52 shot, 10 fatally. Yesterday and Saturday, two-day weekend, Chicago, Illinois, very, very, very strict gun legislation, and 52 people shot, 10 people dead as a result of gunshot wounds. Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson held a news conference this morning calling the level of violence despicable. So they have news conferences, they pass stricter gun laws, and more and more and more people die. Folks, it's a heart issue. It's not a gun issue. Take a look at Switzerland. Almost every single living, breathing person in Switzerland has a gun. I think all of the adult males are required to have a gun. And yet, look at the difference in gun violence between Switzerland and America. It's, you know, it's not the guns. It's tragic. It's horrible. It's terrible. We should all be grieving over this. But it's a heart issue. It's a cultural issue. It's a societal issue. And yet, very, very few people are dealing with that aspect of our culture. We have a culture that is obsessed with violence. Now, most of these shootings and deaths in Chicago are blacks, sadly. What is their music characterized by in the black community? What is their music characterized by? Violence. What about the video games they play? Violent. What about the movies they watch? Violent. So the music they listen to characterized by violence. The video games they play characterized by violence. The movies they watch characterized by violence. The TV programs they watch characterized by violence. And yet, people want us to believe it's a gun problem. All right. We need to take a break, and then we will return.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
You know, I was just thinking about the president dropping in on McLean Bible Church in Virginia. The news media is saying it was a surprise visit, unexpected visit. I don't know whether it was or not. I mean, you have the Secret Service and all that stuff. But as a pastor myself, I was just thinking, how would I respond if the President of the United States suddenly, unexpectedly dropped into a service where I was preaching and asked me to pray for it? Now, I used to, a long time ago, when I was young in the ministry, I used to get real nervous if I was meeting someone well-known, somebody famous. I got over that. And seriously, because, hey, I'm a child of the King. I talk every day with the God of the universe, so I don't get nervous around famous people anymore. But the President of the United States... Well, I don't know whether David Platt had an opportunity to prepare a prayer or whether this was absolutely spontaneous, but I want to read it to you. Here is what he prayed over the president yesterday. He held a Bible in one hand, placed his other hand on President Trump's back, and he prayed. O God, we praise you as the one universal King over all. You are our leader. Isn't that good? Holding his hand on the President of the United States, and he says, you are our leader and our Lord, and we worship you. There is one God, one Savior, and it's you, and your name is Jesus. And we exalt you, Jesus, And no, we need your mercy. We need your grace. We need your help. We need your wisdom in our country. And so we stand right now on behalf of our president, and we pray for your grace and your mercy and your wisdom upon him. God, we pray that he would know how much you love him so much that you sent Jesus to die for his sins, our sins. So we pray that he would look to you, that he would trust you, that he would lean on you, that he would govern and make decisions in ways that are good for justice and good for righteousness and good for equity and every good path. Lord, we pray. We pray that you would give him all the grace he needs to govern in ways that we just saw in 1 Timothy 2 that lead to peaceful and quiet lives, godly and dignified in every way. God, we pray for your blessing in that way upon his family. We pray that you would give them strength. We pray that you would give them clarity and wisdom. Wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Please, O God, give him wisdom and help him to lead our country alongside other leaders. We pray today for leaders in Congress. We pray for leaders in courts. We pray for leaders in national and state levels. Please, O God, help us to look to you. Help us to turn to trust in your word. Help us to seek your wisdom and live in ways that reflect your love and your grace, your righteousness and your justice. We pray for your blessings on our president toward that end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I know you're not supposed to preach in your prayers, but you are supposed to proclaim truth. And that's exactly what David Platt did. He gave the President of the United States the entire plan of salvation from beginning to end in his prayer. And I don't know whether the President is saved. I don't know him personally, but I know people who do. And a couple of the people that I know who know him intimately have told me that he has accepted Christ as Savior. And I think that's happened since he became president. I really do. He has surrounded himself with some very godly people. He's got some kooky people that are around him. There's no doubt about that. He's got some kooky spiritual advisors. But he has some really good, solid, gospel-believing, gospel-proclaiming men that are around him. And I believe it's very possible that after the election, he has accepted Christ as Savior. And that's why, you know, people call this program, what did he do 15 years ago? I don't care. Well, he said he didn't need to be forgiven. That was before he was elected. So, anyway, I think David Platt's prayer was right on. Right on. All right, quick break. We'll be back.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.